Hello, and thanks for listening to the Kept Faith podcast. I'm Nick McCann. I'm joined by Travis Russell.
Hey, go Padres, right?
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. We're just doing it. We're still doing it.
I guess. It's pretty dark right now, though, Nick. I don't know what's going on.
People say rock bottom, but I don't know if they know the Pirella years and the Despaigne years, you know?
Yeah. It's rivaling those years. It is. It's.
Yeah.
It's rivaling them. But we forge on. We move forward, I guess. What else are we going to do?
Hey, we're also joined by Dallas McLaughlin, somebody who knows a lot about rock bottom with the Padres.
What an intro. Wow. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm at the brewery, the Rock Bottom Brewery, you know.
Oh, I love Rock Bottom. Rock Bottom used to have those Titan sticks, and they were basically like giant taquitos.
I feel like they were way ahead of the curve on the yard beer.
They had a lot of beer. You're right.
They didn't give it a name, and that was their
biggest problem that Rock Bottom had, honestly, I think, was that you couldn't get to it. Like, trying to get to Rock Bottom was the hardest thing ever. It was in that weird UCSD.
Yeah.
Like, getting to UCSD on its own is difficult. But yes. Rock Bottom was like in the middle of that mess.
You're trying to find Rock Bottom. You just missed two rounds of trivia at TGI Fridays, and that's
somebody just tweeted this. This is how I wanted to say this, and then we can do whatever you want to do. Somebody posted a picture of the 2007, because there's that trend going on Twitter right now. Like, this is how this would go if it came out in 2007.
Oh.
And so somebody posted the San Diego Padres if they came out in 2007, and they just posted a picture of the 2007 Padres, and it was David Wells, Adrian, Maddox, Peavy, Hoffman, Khalil, Giles, and then I think it's Mike Cameron and somebody else. I can't tell who it is. Chris Young. And Haiku responded to that tweet by saying, "This team beats the 2022 Padres 8-0.
Well, it probably was a more complete team. I don't know.
Totally. Like,
this team has a lot of talent. There's a lot going for it, but it's I don't know. I don't see this.
Well, what
team.
Do you guys want? First off, let's talk about this. We're nominated as best podcast in San Diego by the San Diego Reader.
I mean,
I know you don't care about it, Nick, but
I do care about it. I want to win. I don't want to lose to Carl DeMaio. I mean,
listen, that's the biggest thing. We cannot lose to Carl DeMaio.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this, spread the word for that. That fact alone. You don't have to like us, but you better like us more than Carl DeMaio. That's all we got to say.
When did he get into the podcast space?
When he kept not being elected to office.
I feel like Carl DeMaio is just going to be yelling things for most of our lives. And I guess somebody's just going to record it at some point. And
he's the new Roger Hedgecock.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, vote for us, San Diego Reader. You can go there. Best of San Diego. Vote for us. Emo Brown's also nominated. They're fantastic.
Yeah, they're actually doing really cool stuff.
They do great stuff.
Yeah. So
if they win, San Diego's nominated. Just not Carl DeMaio is essentially what we're saying. We're the only sports podcast, though, I think, that's nominated.
I think as a Padres podcast, we should be in third place every year. I think that fits. That feels right. What would winning do for us? I don't think that's.
We wouldn't know how to respond.
Utterly. That's pretty perfect. I'm going to get a vasectomy. You guys want to just talk about that?
Yeah. Let's talk about it.
Because it's really more fun than talking about whatever baseball is happening. October 6th. That's the day I'm getting snipped.
October 6th. Okay.
Will the Padres be in the playoffs for his recovery? I don't know.
I have to spend a couple days doing nothing. I would love to spend that time watching the Padres in the playoffs.
There's no talking you out of it, right? Because number three is quite the joy.
Okay, let's walk it back, Dallas. Describe to us the first pamphlet.
The first pamphlet?
I'm assuming your wife gave you?
No.
Hey, let's talk.
We should talk about it. There's a lot of guys out there.
It's better than talking about Padres baseball.
It's the same thing. It wasn't a thing where my wife brought it up. It was we've kind of been toying with it for a while, and we want to have one more, blah, 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 blah. We had a time frame. And then we got to that time. We went on vacation. At the end of the vacation, we were like, if we handled this, we could do one more. And it was pretty difficult doing a very simple family vacation with a baby and our oldest. And we were just like, you know what? It's more important to us to go see the world and let our kids that we have see the world than it is to bring another kid into the world and possibly not have those opportunities. So we decided that it was the best case scenario because raw dog, go ahead and get snipped. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm doing. I'm fine with the decision. I bet number three is a joy. Travis, here is the.
I have a question
Travis,
for you.
Travis okay, has
yes, because I've been dealing with this quite a bit too, and I had another one instead of getting snipped. So, but here's my thing about getting snipped, because I'm honestly, you can call me, you're not a man, what a wussy, whatever. That's fine. I'm terrified of it for many reasons.
Oh God.
Yeah. Mainly that I can't, that I'm the age to which I'm no longer. You know, I mean, those are the existential crisis is one thing, but plus I hear you smell it. You're not out for it. And yeah, just the fact of anyone that. Going down there with like harmful things near my balls, like the whole thing is just wild. So my only point in saying all this is how hard is it? Cause me and my wife, we're not responsible with this. I will admit, but it's hard to get pregnant. Like you only get like 70 hours a month. And so my point is like, if you're working with your wife, honey, can we figure out when you could do it and we won't do it? So I don't have to go through like all of the things that will destroy my brain.
You could just do it.
I will say this, when it comes to my wife and I, we have, we decided twice that we wanted to have a baby and we immediately got pregnant.
Really?
Yeah, and I know that we're very fortunate in that. There's a lot of people who try very hard never get pregnant, not trying to shove it in anybody's faces. In fact, as someone who literally for like a decade got kicked in the balls for comedy, I'm amazed that any of it worked, and it worked right away both times.
What I'm saying though is that our wives, the women in our life, the ones that are ovulating, that they're only susceptible to what we're shooting for like 70 hours. Like you can track it. You know what I mean?
It's not like
you can have sex 3 weekends of the month and know you're not going to get pregnant.
But your tank,
I guess that's what you're saying. So it's easier not to track it and just get it chopped.
It's easier not to track it. And also snipped. Like, what if we have a mistake? You know, what if there's a problem?
What if one night she just looks that damn good and there's Travis, no way you can go 70 hours
that she looks that damn good every night.
Dallas, you are such a good husband.
But I no man we it just but I went and I they give you a video if you're thinking about doing it. I'll give you a quick run now. You call whoever you need to call. They send you a video. You have to watch the video, and then after you watch the video, then you have to call, and then you have to schedule an appointment to go down and sign a consent form. And once you, and they only do that on Wednesdays from 1 to 3. So that's funny. And then he goes out and something, because they give you a long, huge list of things that you're going to have to avoid for like a week away from the surgery, everything that's going to happen during the surgery. The video is really funny because they're like, it's not reversible. No matter what anybody says, it's not reversible. And then the doctors are like, when you talk to doctors, they're like, it's totally reversible.
Yeah. One of my, I'm actually doing a wedding. I'm being the minister for a wedding in September. And the couple, he is getting his balls reattached.
There you go.
So that has happened for him.
Yeah, it happened.
He now wants to have kids with his new wife.
They just say that when they reattach, that the likelihood of having children is lessened.
Yes.
But then they made it very clear so many times. Guys, I want you to understand this. They make it clear so many times. Two things. So many times they make it clear. In fact, I probably got an email today just reminding me about it. Bring your own or shave yourself before you come. Don't let the nurses shave you. And
how do you still come, Dallas? Sorry, that was my Conan O'Brien. I had the spelling joke. Sorry.
That's the kind of stuff that beats Carl DeMille, I'll tell you that. And then two, they tell you that you have to give it like two weeks, something like that. There's a time frame where you can't.
Before what?
Because you have to clear the chamber. You have to clear out the chamber.
Wait, 2 months without getting a boner?
I don't know if it's 2 months. What is it? No, you can do stuff. You just can't, like, you're not impotent, I guess it would be. or whatever. You're still
you could shoot live ammo into for the next 2 months.
You gotta clear the tubes.
Okay, this is great. So this happens in October, early October. The Padres are out of the playoffs.
They're out, they're not even near it.
And then you're shooting blanks through the hot stove.
You know who else you know who else hasn't been shooting blanks? Fernando Tatis Jr. He's been fully loaded syringes.
Okay. Well,
anyway,
we're rooting for you, Dallas.
Good for you, Dallas. You're brave.
I don't care. They're useless down there anyways nowadays. It doesn't matter. I wanted to say, I think people are sad about the Padres. I look at it like this. We took one of the greatest generational hitters in baseball and we made him bad. And I think that is like true Padres form right
Which
there.
Which one? Wait, are you talking? No, I mean, are you talking about Juan Soto? I don't
even... Oh my. Here we are.
Josh Bell's generational kind of?
No, it's Juan Soto. I'm talking about Juan Soto.
Yeah, but he's still.
He's fine. He's not bad. I think people.
I love watching him.
He's so fun. I think people are just expecting him to like hit a home run every at bat. But really, the reason why he's so good is because he's a very good all around hitter. He's very similar to Machado. He's just, I think, got more power than Machado. They watch pitches, like they get on base, like that's their kind of prime objective. I love Josh Bell, and I'm really happy that he had those two home runs. But like, it is astonishing how many offensive threats we added to our lineup, and somehow, after the first 2 days with them, we just got like worse or as bad.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not sure, like, who, we can't blame it on anybody. It's not like Preller didn't go out and get the best players available.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know.
Literally did that.
Yeah. I don't know. The last time we spoke on the podcast, I think it was after the trade deadline, but we I don't think we talked about Juan Soto and Josh Bell, or did we? I can't remember.
We did the trade deadline.
Yeah, I mean, I think the cool thing about Juan Soto is that he just walks so much. I think that's amazing. Like the way he can just, has so much control at the plate, and you know, he hasn't shown a whole lot of power since he's been here, but and Josh Bell is just better than Eric Hosmer. I know he's had a little drought at the plate, but.
Well, he booted those two throws, throwovers yesterday, I think it was. But honestly, like
they're learning each other, I guess. Like, I don't know. I this year without Hosmer, I mean, the infield defense, I just haven't worried about it that much.
No. And it's crazy. Like, it's crazy how bad Josh Hader is. Like, it's really,
that's weird. That is really amazing. That's kind of,
he's unraveled. Like, he is unraveled.
Yeah. And he's still got all the gifts. I mean, he's really, it's not really like his velocity has gone down or anything. It's not like some kind of arm issue.
Yeah, he just seems like he's not getting it over the plate. I mean, it doesn't seem like that. He's not getting it over the plate. Like, and like, are you not fooling anybody? Like, that's what I wonder, like, did everybody in the league just catch on? And it's like, well, we're just not going to swing at your shit because it's all over the place. So we're going to stop swinging and you're just going to walk us because you can't find the zone. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I wonder if it gets to that point where they've just seen him so much that they know, unless it's close, I'm not swinging.
Maybe he's just blown away by moving to San Diego and just seeing how everybody's so much more beautiful collectively than Milwaukee people.
That's probably
it. I think that's a big part of it. That's got to be hard. That's got to be a shock, you know?
Well, when it gets this weird, and I think we can say that it's pretty weird that we get three of the top performing baseball players at the trade deadline, and they are all not what they were before then. So I have a conspiracy, at least about Bell and Hader. They're both done for the end of the season, right? Like, we have, they're free agents after this.
I think so. Bell might not be, but I'm not sure.
Bell? I don't think Bell is.
I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, look it up. Look it
up. They're throwing it. No. They're saboteurs here to destroy our team. What, like, the Brewers were upset. They have been losing, but The Brewers sent him here to make us lose. What other explanation do you have besides some like voodoo curse on this team where they, regardless of what Preller does at the deadline, regardless of the coach we have, we hit the All-Star break over the last couple of years and we fall off a cliff. I mean, it's wild.
Josh Bell is a free agent. You're right. Yeah, I don't know if he comes back. I think if he was to mash and go hard, I think he would be back, but I don't think he comes back. I think moving Hosmer ultimately was to hope that like Cronenworth or something would take over first. But I mean, he's had a pretty lackluster season himself.
Cronenworth looks lost, completely lost.
How long are they on Drury?
Well, I'm just doing all the research tonight.
Thanks. I should have done that before. But no, I mean, like he could play first. I mean, I don't know. Like
he could play first. Here's the thing. Brandon Drury to me, I was very worried that Brandon Drury was going to be the Ryan Ludwig of this deal.
Yeah.
He is also a free agent, but his contract is super nothing.
Yeah, but I mean,
he's making $900,000.
I'm kind of into the idea of not being locked into a first baseman for a while after what we had gone through. I was just worried.
Brandon Drury is like one of those guys who he's always been like fine. He's always been fine. Like he's not been great. He's not been terrible. He's always just been fine. And I think that like he was having this amazing season with the Reds, playing half of his games at Great American Ballpark, which is basically a T-ball field. Yeah. Like, you know, there's a lot there that was, you know, suspect. And now he's been here and he had that great first couple of games. And now he's just been
falling back down to earth.
Like, I think there's only so many home runs that you can hit or so many balls that you can hit that would have been home runs at the, in the Reds, and they were caught by guys right at the wall or like amazing catches. You know, I'm not taking anything away from amazing catches, but like that wouldn't even have been a possibility in Red Stadium. So I think
not at sea level.
Head, that's playing in his head. Luke Voigt's now talking shit about Petco and how big it is. And how like he couldn't hit here and stuff. So like that now we're back to that old game again, the old Phil Nevin game.
Oh man.
Where like the fences bring the fences in, you can't hit in San Diego. Luke Voigt's, you know, got that going again. And
it's like visiting teams are out hitting the Padres at Petco home run wise.
It's so much bullshit. Like I would believe it if no one was hitting, but everybody's hitting when they come to San Diego. The Guardians scored 7 runs today. How did they do that? How did they do it? Oh, I don't know. They hit. It's like, it's not.
Yeah. Last night was 2 solo home runs. That's how they beat us. So
it's unbelievable. And I don't know, like at this point, the only guy I can think is to blame besides just the team, I guess, is the hitting coach, because it's like, you can't really blame Bob Melvin. I mean, people are bringing up like, well, Melvin's never done anything. Like he's just people like him a lot. He's been able to, you know, make really bad A's teams, you know, relevant and interesting. And that's like his voodoo. So that's all he's good at. And I guess there's something to be said to that. I don't know.
Yeah. He's not a winner. He doesn't have a World Series under his.
He's not of like a necessarily a winning manager, but he's also not like some bum, you know? So it's like, is it the hitting coach? Like, is that the person? Like, because that's the other thing I'm looking at is like I'm watching these games and these guys are playing super selective, right? They're getting on base. Juan Soto's seeing pitches. He's walking. A lot of guys are walking. A lot of guys are getting on base, and then they're being stranded. I mean, if the first 3 innings the other day, we had 9 people left on base. Like, that is freaking crazy. Yes. And like, so it's like when you go through that, it's like, okay, well, at what point then do you just start being more aggressive? Like, because that seems like maybe that's the fix. And is it the hitting coach going, no, take your pitches, get on base? But what's the point of getting on base? Like, the only guy who seems to not be having an issue with this is Machado. And I feel like it's just because Machado is one of the greatest hitters of the last 10 years. So it's like, he shouldn't have this issue. Soto is young. He's going to go through these ups and downs. He's also 23. Like, you know, he's not a figured out product. So it's like, I just don't get, like, you can't blame anybody anymore. Unless it's the hitting coach who's just saying, no, take your pitches. Other than that,
is the hitting coach that involved with like their tendencies? I mean, I don't know if they're.
I have no idea.
When they're in at bats, are they, you know, I don't know. I guess it's a dry spell with the offense, but it's amazing. I didn't really see this happening with getting all these guys. I mean, it does feel like, I think, if this falls apart, like it looks like it is going to, it feels like it is now, but it could totally change in the next few weeks. I mean, we should just talk about it. Like a big part of the trade deadline and like getting all these guys was, it was always that with the thing looming with Tatis coming back as being the big centerpiece of it. Like we got all these guys and then Tatis will be back. And then it's kind of like Voltron, I'll form the head, you know, like we're going to be like this offense that is unstoppable. And then that goes away. I mean, what were you guys feeling last Friday, or it was like 2 weeks ago, or, you know, when the news dropped that Tatis was going to get suspended? I mean,
it wasn't 2 weeks ago. It was a week
ago. Was that a week ago?
Really? Oh, yeah. My goodness.
No, it is. Like, yeah. It was
2 years ago.
Oh, my God.
I think it was 2 weeks ago because it was.
It still seems surreal to me, to be honest. That's how I feel about it. Like, it doesn't seem real.
What's amazing to me is like the way that this story really had a lot of legs. It felt like it just kept, it caught the national media and it kept being talked about. Obviously it got talked about again because he just did his formal apology. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, he is somebody that I think we all just were looking to as being kind of the savior figure, the next, I mean, he was going to be the next guy, like almost like a Tony Gwynn type, where he's a position player who's awesome, who's going to be here for a really long time, or he was committed. He's more committed than Tony Gwynn ever was, if you think about it. Like, I mean, his contract
at one point, yeah.
Tony never signed a 14-year contract, so it's like, and this is so crazy that both sides made this commitment to each other, and we have to watch them work it out in real time, and we're kind of in the middle of it. And it's just been a real, like, really a real struggle for me. I think you guys all understand, because we, you know, we have a podcast. We, you know, I mean, it might be the best podcast in San Diego according to the San Diego Reader, but like we get asked about it a lot in on the street, you know, because of our position. And it's like, yeah. I think that I've been kind of getting tired of talking about it with people. I just wanted to talk about it with you guys. We haven't had a chance to record, but I think it's just a real rough thing. I remember seeing him at the Don Welke game that he played in before he came up, and before he really got, he was starting to get some buzz nationally as a prospect. And it just felt like, oh my God, we are finally going to have our next guy who is homegrown and is a power hitting shortstop. I mean, it's kind of the wet dream of every baseball fan, right? To have this super athletic person. And then he has this other layer where he's also emerging as becoming like the voice of a certain flamboyancy for the Latin player that is dominating the league. I mean, he's going to be presented as like a commercial entity that's going to be used in advertising all over the world using that thing. And I don't know. It's just, this whole thing is tarnished now, and I don't think it's ever going to be the same. It's really a tragedy. I don't know.
Yeah. There was one other thing I would add to that, and maybe I put this on him that wasn't there, but I felt like because he grew up in baseball, he was going to avoid the trappings you know, being that young coming up. He's like, well, my dad will guide me through this. I'll have the experience. And for the first few years, like when he first came up, he was so impressive. Like he was not partying. He wasn't, at least that we could tell. And it was like, wow, maybe this guy really is going to have this super long career. He's going to do it right. And then he got hurt and we dealt with that. And now it's like, well, he's going to be 25 before he ever has a full eligible for a complete season in the major league. So he's not a kid anymore. He is now going to have a couple surgeries by the time he has eligibility for a full season. I don't know. It's like he's coming into the league, and by the time he's, you know, eligible for any of these batting titles or any of that stuff, he's going to be have so much baggage and almost damaged goods at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, obviously it sucks when everybody I know, I think, in the world texted me that day as if I had some personal relationship with Fernando Tatis. Listen, I've always been like, I love watching Tatis, but like as a Padre fan, I've just never expected it to work out. And I know that's like, it's like we say that so often and feel it so often. It pretty much seems like a hack thing to say at this point. Like, okay. But like, honestly, like we're like Angels fans. Like,
yeah.
When have you, like, except that they've fucking won a World Series. When have you ever felt like it was going to work out? Like, I haven't. So like, and I don't say that to be like, oh, more and more, woe is me. It's just like, that's the mentality that the team and the organization has beat into us over and over again. So with Tatis, it was always, in my mind, it was always like, he's amazing. What are we going to get for him when we trade him? Like, that's always been what I've been waiting to find out. Because there was just no way we're going to keep him. Didn't matter if we signed him in 14 years. Could have signed him until legally he was dead.
But, yeah.
And at some point, I'm like, well, we will trade him. So, like, to me, it's like I've just never expected him to work out. And there was those rumors a while ago. The reason why we traded Framil Reyes was because, you know, he was a bad influence on Tatis and we needed to get rid of him because, like, Tatis was acting up in part. Like, Tatis parties. He goes out. I mean, he obviously parties and does whatever the hell he wants to do. And we found out when he goes back home, he literally does whatever he wants to do. It doesn't matter. And, like, there's a lot of, like, unknowns about Tatis. There's a lot of rumors that swirl around about Tatis. There's a lot of things that people, you know, are weirded out about, worried about. Like, he just seems like he doesn't seem like he has it all together. And I've been writing about this, trying to put together a thing for the cafe. There's just so many ideas, but like I write about it, so I don't want to go into it and burn it, but it's like people keep leaning on his dad, you know, oh, his dad. I don't know why. Like, I don't know why anybody would expect his dad to be the guy who's supposed to really teach him the right way to be a major leaguer. His dad was a major leaguer during one of the most tumultuous and like steroid ridden eras of baseball. Like
one of the best times.
But it's like his dad went from 8 home runs to 34 home runs while he was a member of the Cardinals alongside Mark McGwire. Like, his dad isn't a bastion of like the right way to play the game. We all liked his dad because his dad was pretty much like a grinder. You know, he hustled, he fought, he wasn't some like superstar. So we liked his dad. But it's like, why did we think his parent, like, you know what I mean? Like, I just don't understand. Like, some people's parents are shitty. And like, when your kid is making $400 million or whatever the fuck he's making, like, you're going to do everything you can to not lose that money. Like, that money is generationally changing, you know, his family for the better. That's great. But it's like, they're going to help him lie about the motorcycle accident. They're going to help him lie about the steroid stuff. They're going to help him do whatever they need to help him do. They are not going to like be on the side of baseball. You know what I mean? So
yeah, I think
I just true. Don't see it.
No, that's true.
Well, I think with Tatis's dad or Tatis Sr., like, we didn't really have an opinion on him. We just knew he was a guy who was around. And before, you know, things went south with Tatis as far as the public perception, it was always like, he's a son of a major leaguer, he gets it, he understands how to do it. And for the most part, it seemed like that was how it's going to play out. He was very muted in the media. He wasn't saying the wrong things. He was just kind of like signing autographs when he was supposed to sign autographs, and then a nice kid who everybody liked. And it, you know, he seemed like a real light for the game, you know. And then, you know, this thing happens and, you know, his teammates rightfully have problems with it and start saying things, and his dad's calling them out for being jealous. I think that was the hardest part about it with, as far as the family and, you know,
well, the fallout. Oh, sorry, Nick.
The fallout's crazy. I mean, the fallout is so much different than just, I mean, I think it's a combination of everything. It's the motorcycle accident, which ruined half the season. And then it's a combination of both. And I think I understand where the players are coming from. His teammates are like, he hasn't been a part of this. He is not a part of the 2022 Padres.
And, no.
they have the right to say that publicly, and he should feel that. And I hope he grows from it, you know? I don't know.
You need to be like, I like the fact that the players weren't coddling it, you know, like Clevinger and Machado. And I forget the other person who was very vocal about it off the top of my head, but they were like, he's not here. Like, and guess what? We're still winning and we don't need him. And it's
I just find it really interesting the way that we, like, when a guy comes up like that, and, you know, I think fans across all fan bases do this, where it's, you're so enthralled by him, and you look for little things, and you look at his background, and you just decide things about him. Like, okay, his dad was a major leaguer for 12 years. He seems like a good kid. This must be a positive influence. He must be hearing the right thing. And until we have a reason to believe anything different, we just kind of go with that and decide that he's got this great support system, which it appeared to be. I mean, I don't know. He signs that massive contract. The contract is so unique, I think, that both sides sign this thing. They don't have options to get out of it. They're both stuck with each other. And what we're watching play out is, you know, he comes together with AJ. They work whatever they have to work out as far as to get through this. And then they have this apology. But it's like, I think the organization is really furious at him, and his teammates are furious at him. But what can they do? They can't really do much except repair this and just hope that he comes back next year. I don't know.
You
know.
I mean, I think it was nice for them to say, you're getting the shoulder surgery. Like, that's not a debate anymore.
That did a lot for me.
And the fact that they were like, he's spending the bulk of his offseason in San Diego.
In San Diego, under a chaperone.
That seems to do a lot for, I think that is, I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
It's hard. Like, I wrote about it, so I don't really want to, like, it doesn't matter. If you listen to the podcast, you read what I write, great.
I have a hard time being like, you know, if he goes to the Dominican, just bad things are automatically going to happen. He's an adult. He needs to be able to handle himself wherever he is. But, you know, the surgery thing, I think, is that did a lot for me as far as like, if he just refused to do that, especially since the timeline lines up where he won't miss games. I think that was a good step forward that shouldn't even be credited as that, but it's good that he's doing it, you know.
I just think that it's, for me, you know, like, I obviously wanted, we all wanted, like you said before, we all wanted Tatis to be the next Tony Gwynn. We wanted that again in our lives. We wanted it for our kids. Like, we wanted them to have what we had, which was this amazing baseball player who was ours, you know. And I think part of it is like, yes, Machado wasn't a Padre, you know, his whole entire career. He might not be a Padre for the rest much longer, but like, it's the same thing with Soto. Like, we were making a huge deal about getting Soto, which is amazing. Soto's amazing. But like, then that first game back, like, Machado just freaking, you know, like, went off, and like, he was the lone reason we won those next couple of games pretty much. So to me, it is like, maybe our Gwynn is Machado, and maybe we're overlooking it because he's just so consistent and so good that maybe we've been putting too much stock in the young kid with the cool hair who is amazing when he's on the field. But maybe we should really be celebrating the guys who are on the field, who are doing the things that make us win baseball games, and just ignore the other guys until they prove us otherwise. You know, like, that's kind of the thing that I keep looking at. It's like when we traded Hosmer, but, you know, and people were shitting all over Hosmer, but that other thing rose up where people were like, you know, who's been the anti-Hosmer is Will Myers, like, willing to do whatever he wants to do. Now, obviously, Will Myers looks like he might not be good at baseball anymore, but like, that's the same thing I feel like with this, like with the whole Tatis problem. Like, I'd love to just shift the attention and go, you know what? Maybe Manny Machado is our next Tony Gwynn, or maybe Manny Machado is the next Trevor Hoffman. Maybe he's the next great Padre, and it's not Tatis. Maybe it will be, maybe, but not now. Like, and we need to stop treating him that way. Because what if he comes back and he sucks? What if he was on steroids?
That's what I'm saying. He could suck. Time?
And he comes back and he sucks now.
He's got, shoulder surgery and wrist surgery. And, you know, he had a broken thumb already. It's like, I don't know. Does this, the best case scenario is he comes back, he's awesome, he has a, you know, six or seven great years that are just high level, and then we spend the rest of our lives defending his mistakes, kind of like Giants fans defended Barry Bonds, you know, like that. But I think that it will never be, it's kind of a fly in the punch bowl, right? Like, so no matter how good he gets, no matter what he does,
it will,
for me at least, like, I'm not even like a big steroid person who's like, you know, I can't, you know, I'm a defender of the sanctity of the game, but like, it puts him in a category for me. Like, I think there's a ceiling for how excited I can be about him knowing that he tested positive. It does matter to me. And, you know, his counting stats for his career home runs was something that was going to matter to me. And now it has an asterisk on it, I think. And,
well, it is interesting.
It should. And I agree with why it should, but I just, you know, it sucks.
I hear what you're saying, and it will be. This is basically going to be Antonio Gates played basketball in high school for every national broadcast for the rest of time. Like, Tatis got busted for steroids. Now, I'll say this, Nick, I don't think that he was doing steroids the whole time. I really don't. I really, like, enough people have kind of done their little investigative Twitter drill and talked about the fact that, like, he probably started taking this thing to get his wrist back in shape and help him heal quicker. And he showed up to camp and he had all this extra muscle, and he was, you know, like,
he's a dumbass, right? Like,
think that's when he probably started doing something to help him get back to full strength. I don't buy the ringworm shit. I think it's adorable that they're trying to push that.
He's still going with that, though, right? That was his apology.
I don't even know. I don't know about rig. I don't know. It's just he's an idiot.
I just don't understand. Like, how much of that would you be putting on your body for it to show up on a drug test? Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, it's cream. Like, I don't put cortisone cream on my arm and then take a drug test and they're like, "Holy shit, dude! Like, you're full of drugs." You know what I mean? Like, I just don't understand. Like, what?
But the combination of making that mistake and falling off of motorcycles, it's kind of like,
right.
Okay. He's dumb. He's a young.
Yeah. If you don't fall off the motorcycle, all of this is not a non-issue.
Yes. And if you're dumb, what does that say about the organization that says, yeah, we want to do this for 14 years, like 14 years. That's a crazy business relationship in any industry for anybody, and just to do that and be stuck with it. I mean, that's insane.
And here's the thing, though, they have the ability. You know, people keep, you know, again, all the investigative Twitter journalists out there are like, well, they can't void it. Like, legally, they can't void it.
They're not gonna.
Guess what? They can do whatever the fuck they want to do. Especially because he fell off a motorcycle and got into several motorcycle accidents. It's not like they just, like, didn't follow up and figure out what really happened. The team is worth billions. Like, his contract is worth millions. They're going to follow up and find out what actually happened. Yes. Same thing with the steroids thing. Same thing with all of it. Like, they have a leg up, and that's why he's getting the shoulder surgery. That's why he's staying in San Diego, because he knows they didn't void the contract, which they had the right to do with the motorcycle accident. It's literally in the contract. But they didn't. And so now it's like the union and all of them need to pony up and be like, okay, well, we're going to do this, because they can still make whatever they want to happen. Like, they've proven that time and time again. So I just think that it's like, to me, I'm willing to overlook it. I'm willing to be fine with it. I'm willing to believe what we need to believe to see if he comes out the other side okay. But ultimately, like, I don't think the organization is dumb for signing this kid for that long. I mean, when he's on the field, he makes things happen.
I was touched and excited by it when it happened. So for me to just be, I mean, I don't know. I don't know
what you're saying, though, Nick.
It's crazy because, you know, you look at like the Machado contract where they have 5 years and then he has an option. That does seem like there's a way out, at least on one side. But this thing is like, we're just going to be together, you know, like we're just together. And like, and what you're seeing, they have to be very delicate. He falls off a motorcycle, breaks his wrist. They don't want to pursue that. I mean, he's playing soccer in the outfield and falling down all the time. Like nobody's saying shit to him because they can't say anything. They're together. Like they're just like, they're linked. But you know what I found to be really interesting is like when this first drops, you know, I think the perceived leaders of the team, Joe Musgrove and Manny Machado, those are like the leaders of the team, I would say. And they had some harsh language. Not, I mean, harsh in the way that it was just, you could tell that they were upset. And then, you know, he does the apology. I thought it was, I believed him, you know, and he's getting the surgery and it's softened up a little bit as far as I think Joe and Manny said that they'll support him no matter what. So I think the idea is just come back, be awesome. It's early enough in your career where you can just have this awesome career and that can be something that gets mentioned every once in a while by like rival fan bases, but it won't be, I don't know if like it's going to hang with him that much if he just stays out of trouble. You know, for me, it's a lot about like, you know, you look at like Ryan Braun where he has all the success and then he gets popped towards the end of the career. That's hard. But this is like a mistake. And if he stays clean, I think it's just, he can still have a magical career. I think for everybody that's really in love with him as a player, it's just kind of like, oh, okay. Well, there's a ceiling to how far we can go with that. Right.
Yeah. It hurts. I mean, it hurts people because they've fallen in love with him and rightfully so.
The bubble burst, I think. I mean, the best, we had Cam simplest way to put it. Like, it's no longer this shiny bubble that was out there perfectly floating. It's burst, and it's not what it was at all. Not even close.
I mean, you look at, like, Caminiti. Like, Caminiti has the greatest season of any Padre. You know, wins the MVP. And it's obviously he was on steroids. But we don't find out until after, you know. Like he's not a Padre anymore. He's retired. We don't find out for real until after. And this is different, you know, like we have to like live with him, you know, but, you know, do you, like for the rest of the season, I mean, what do you think the Padres have to do to right this ship? The starting pitching had a really great start. It kind of had a lull in the middle of the season, but you know, Clevinger and Snell are starting to do something a little bit.
On October 6th, I'm going to get my ball snipped. So that's what I think about what the team is going to do.
I want to watch a playoff game with you.
I'm very happy about Blake Snell's turnaround. I'll say that. That's probably my favorite thing that's happened this season is because I like Blake Snell a lot.
Yeah,
I think he's like a really fun player. He obviously has a lot of fun with the team. And I'm very happy that his last couple of months have been old Blake Snell, essentially. Like, very cool.
Well, I think he's kind of an ideal playoff starter, right? Because he just is in the playoffs, guys go five innings anyways. And it's like,
he's great. I mean, here's the thing. If we can get to the playoffs, we have the pitching to matter in the playoffs.
Right.
Exactly. We just cannot get a hit or a home run with a runner on second. That's the biggest problem we have.
I legit feel like they just need to go up and swing at the first fucking pitch every single time. Like, change it up. Do something different. Like, just do something different. Right now, I'm like watching them take so many, like how many times do I have to watch these guys take a pitch down the middle of the plate? Like so many times I'm watching it all of the time. And it's like, if it's to work the pitch count or if it's to get on base or whatever the hell it is, I looked it up. Their hitting coach is this guy, Daniel Bird or whatever, who's 27 years old. He's like an economics major from the University of Michigan. Not a good sign.
And yikes.
You know, and he's supposed to be this whiz kid when it comes to all these advanced stats, which is great. This is not against advanced stats, but at all. But obviously, like whatever he's doing,
it's not working
sometimes. but not all the time. Like, there's no adjustments being made. I'm not seeing any adjustments being made. It's just like they're going out and they're doing the same thing. It's like trust, like they're just like, trust the process. This is the process. You got to trust to make it work. Like, I don't know if you guys watch Winning Time at all.
I tried two episodes. I haven't really kept up. I liked it.
I really loved it a lot, but it's like the guy comes in and he's trying to change the way they play basketball. You know, it's like, you gotta drive this new way, and they keep failing and failing. And he's like, no, we got to keep the product, keep going. And then, oh, lo and behold, it starts to work. But like, I feel like that's what we're seeing right now. Is like, no, just keep doing this thing. Just keep doing this approach at the plate. Everybody keep doing it. And it's like, it's going to work. It'll turn around. And then now we're like past the All-Star break. And it's like, okay, cool, man. Like, when does it happen? You know, like, I don't get what's going on. I'm sick of why. Like, I'm literally sick of watching the Padres play baseball. Like, I'm done with it. Like, I don't want to do it anymore.
Mm-hmm. It's really jarring. The way they'll get stopped by like these mid-level starting pitchers that are not special.
Was it Corbin the other day? He's had like, and the they'll worst just be like, ever,
you just watched five innings like where it's Cy like Young. 20 guys on base. You know, I mean, everybody knows what I need to explain it to everybody. This is the guys left on base thing that is just, it's just really hard because they're doing it against pitchers that are not special. They're not freaks. They're just these middling pitchers, starting pitchers, or you know, staffs that are like the National Series was crazy. Yeah, like
it's the Miami series.
Yeah, the Miami series. Yeah,
like really fantastic young pitchers, and that is where you want to take pitches. You want to make those guys work. You want to make them throw their best stuff. Like, I get it, but at the same time, once you got to that bullpen, you need to be lighting that shit up. And they weren't, you know, nothing. That series is a mess. Anyway. All right.
I don't know.
Let's wrap it up, Nick.
Let's wrap it up. I'm so tired of talking about Tatis. I'm sorry. Tatis, that one hurt.
Yeah.
Of course it hurts. That's been a tough. It sucks.
Yeah.
Well, and Machado's going to opt out after his next year, right? Like, that's what's going to.
I don't know,
but that's just like, what could happen now. They haven't synced up. They haven't become the dynamic duo like we thought they would.
He's mad. After next year, Manny
can opt out.
Well, I wouldn't blame him, honestly.
I wouldn't either. That's what's so frustrating. Like, that's what's so maddening. I love Manny. I'd rather keep Manny than Tatis at this point. I love Manny Machado. He's one of the greatest players I've ever seen with my own eyes live.
Look, if he
and did, it's just sad it's not working out where they were the, you know, amazing right side of the infield. It's just,
I know that's what really is. It's not going to be what we thought it was going to be. I still have the Sports Illustrated cover next to my bed, you know?
I mean, people are saying, you know, there's so many people talking right now that
it's not going to be,
these guys are going to opt out. They're not going to want to come back and play in this environment. And like, I'm like, I don't blame you. Can I opt out? How do I opt out?
I mean, I don't know. Is somebody going to pay Manny Machado more than $150 million for 31 to 36? I don't know, dude.
He is.
But if he opted out and was like, I just want to take less money and go win, I, you know.
Like, look at, you know, like.
No shots fired at that.
Well, no, but if you're Manny Machado, it's like your career has been what? Playing for the Orioles.
Yep.
Dodgers. And then you had that one half a season in L.A., which who wants to fucking play in L.A.? And then now he's here, you know, where it was like, he was gonna, like the plan was in place and they were gonna make it happen. And then it hasn't come together. Yeah. If I'm Manny Machado and I can't opt out and I can go to somewhere like New York, like Mets or Yankees, you know, a team that's putting it together and making a run, or, you know, go somewhere where it's like, you might have an open spot at third. You might be able to slot in at first, you know, like DH is available now. It's like, you have options and you can go and win a World Series. Like,
I wouldn't.
The only thing he has left to do.
I wouldn't be mad at it.
Oh, fuck to tease, dude.
Man, it's crazy how much has changed since the trade deadline. It's just crazy.
I just don't know how to root for Tatis anymore.
What do you?
We're waxing on about this, and I get it.
He's not going to play. I look at June of next year.
I look at like the guys that we know who were like in the aughts. Early aughts, just defending Barry Bonds? Like, are we going to be like, are we going to be like that? I'm completely prepared to just irrationally defend his mistakes at every corner, but he kind of has to.
I'm not going to defend him. I'm not defending him at all. I think he's a moron. But if we win a World Series,
But against rival fan bases, because they're just going to say
we won a World Series with King Caminiti. We won a World. All those guys were juicing, and we won World Series with all those guys.
That wasn't on the table though.
Or we didn't win a World Series. Sorry, but we got to the World Series.
But in 1998, like, we weren't talking about it.
Well, there was no podcasts. There was no internet. Nobody was talking about anything.
I know, but like, the steroid conversation didn't start until like 2001.
Yeah, no. I know what you're saying. I'm just saying, like, we didn't like go posthumously and say, you know, like, oh, well, all those seasons were a wash because Caminiti was roids. Like, nobody went back in time and did that, but they did do that with other players. They did that with Clemens. They did that with Bonds. You know, Bonds' whole career was reexamined because of that. Like, so,
I mean, I think every fan base probably just has their steroids guys, and you have to defend. And
I think it'll be very telling when he comes back, how he plays. And if he plays well, I think if he plays well and we get something happens because of it, I'll be excited. But if he comes back and the team is all left because he's a piece of shit and we're left with nothing and we just have to watch this guy now, then I'll be pissed. And I don't know if I'll be really rooting for the team that much anymore.
I don't know.
I say all that knowing that I'll totally root for them.
I mean, I'm more curious. I want to see how Adidas and Gatorade and all these other companies react to it. Because, I mean, I don't know what the track record is on that, but like, he had relationships with all these corporations to do ads. And
he's got a great deal with Johnson & Johnson that's coming through.
Lean into it. Just fucking ringworm.
Lean into it.
Yeah, I was going to say, who makes the steroid?
Be an Aubrey Huff, man. Just lean into the hate.
Lean in.
Pfizer, whoever makes the steroid, go and.
Well, this is the Kept Faith podcast. We've been leaning in since 2008.
Ugh.
And yeah, we need to get.
It's a definition of insanity at this point.
It really is.
When we started this podcast, I didn't have kids. And now I'm taking away my ability to have. Understand? That's how long we've been doing this shit.
I don't think we were married. We didn't have kids.
A lot has changed. I was living with a woman.
Dallas and I were living together, weren't we?
That's right. Dallas and I were living together. Yeah.
Yeah.
We were
good
fucking times.
Who cares? Raw dog. I don't care. Raw dog.
Oh, man. We're opening up so many cans of worms here. Let's end this thing.
All right. Well, we should. Keep the faith. Keep the faith. Somebody has to.
Am I over president?
Good night.